Well, a beautiful good evening to you. It's just gone 6 o'clock and I'm sat here at my desk. I've been doing some writing and thinking and watching the sky as it's just grown darker. Yesterday was the first day of the new year in the Celtic calendar, and I'm going by the lunar cycle. It makes perfect sense to realise that our ancestors would have celebrated on the first full moon of Samhain. Samhain, of course, is November. In Gaelic, Samhain translates as November. So the Samhain festival marks the descent into winter. And I say descent because the days are growing shorter, the nights are growing longer. But this little podcast really is about celebrating something that is almost alien to us at the moment, with all the troubles in the world and the political shenanigans and the who's in charge. It's quite a dreadful scene and something I don't want to impinge upon the Altona Cottage and what I regard as the sacred woodland, the sacred earth, the sacred life that we've been given. And you know, the night before last I was reading, well, I was very deeply reading about the Middle Ages, and the Middle Ages in particular in England, and before the dissolution of the monasteries. So we're talking about from about the 12th to about the 14th century. And there's been a lot of history written about that, you know, because we had the plague and the Black Death, and most people were either serfs or slaves. I wonder if you knew that slavery was very much a part of Christendom in England and Wales and presumably Scotland as well. And life was harsh. Life was very harsh and very dominated, as it is today. I mean, we're probably less able to see the sheer domination that we live under in all countries, by the way. There are rules and regulations, there are do's and don'ts, and for many people life is just an ongoing struggle. One of the things that I find immensely disturbing is the rise of charities and food banks and such like. It's a terrible reflection on the governance that we have, you know. I was reading the other day about the 37 billion that was used on track and trace in the UK, and how it didn't really work at all, and a lot of the contracts were given out to friends of friends of friends, you know, and how at the present moment the National Health Service is under incredible pressure, and nurses are paid a pittance, really, according to the, you know, in relation to the work they do. But anyway, I could go on and on about that, and it just makes me cross, and it makes me very irate, because I loathe injustice. I loathe it. There is no need for it. And coming into this new year, I'm aware of everything that's going on out there. Out in what I see is in many, many places, like an alien landscape. It's something I could never have imagined when I was a younger woman, that there would be such desperation and need and chaos. So this little podcast is about touching base with what's important. Like when I get up in the morning and light my stove, yes, I light the stove before I have my coffee because I boil the kettle on the stove. And it does save a bit of money, of course it does, because I'm not having to fork out for huge amounts of electricity bills. And I empty my compost toilet. You know, I do that 3 or 4 times a week. I chop wood and do a lot of cleaning and tidying up and just everyday work. But how I do it is in a very ritualistic fashion, because when I feel I'm performing rituals, be they very humble rituals like emptying the compost toilet, or very, very demanding, physically demanding rituals like chopping wood or chopping logs into sticks to light the stove, it allows me to center down. And I think that that's something that we can actually gain from having less. Having less can be a very fearful enterprise to ponder. As I came from a very impoverished childhood, and I'm now living in my own cottage here on this land, it's a very warm and embracing place, but that's because I've made it so. There's been no major renovations or any such like carried out here. I have comfort, but to a lot of other people, they would say, well, Colette, you're living in a very primitive state. But then what is primitive? Is, you know, for me, I live as close to the earth as I can, because the earth is deaf, dumb and blind to the nonsense produced by humankind. Everything goes on. The seasons go forward. This is one of the reasons why I get such a warm feeling celebrating the ancient Celtic festivals, because each one reminds me of where I am in the circle of life. The circle of life. I mean, politicians are now talking about a circular economy. Well, goodness me, I was writing about a circular economy on this website over 10 years ago. When you live close to the earth, or when you are cognizant of Mother Earth and all her abundance, you realise very quickly it is a circular economy, because the seasons go round. We have this beautiful journey around the sun. We go around and around and around. For many people in the hierarchy, up high in the hierarchy, they don't even experience that. They don't feel that. They're so busy clutching at more and more material things. I feel very blessed because I feel I have enough. I have enough in my home, in my life. But that's a state of being. That's not something that you achieve. It's a state of being. I feel blessed by the morning. This morning I got up and I came through to the kitchen and it was still dark and the kitchen was so bright. There was this incredible light and it was the full moon. The full moon was setting in the west but was still relatively high in the sky. And the light just was bouncing off the floor and bouncing off the walls and it was so magical. I felt joy. I felt immense joy. And the past few days have been like a trip down memory lane as well, because at this time of the year, I know people talk about all the veil thins and, you know, this is a very... otherworldly time, you know, it's a very liminal time. But it really is. I have had so many faces appear in my head over recent days. Faces that if I'd sat and thought and tried to conjure up how they looked, I couldn't have done it, and yet they just appeared to me, people who have passed into the other world. And the other world is whatever you feel it to be, whatever you believe in. I can only talk from my own position here. And one of those faces that was with me very much so this morning was one of my uncles on my mother's side, Uncle John. And Uncle John was an absolute atheist. He didn't believe in anything, but a kinder, more humane man I have never encountered. I miss him greatly because he was intelligent and he was philosophical and he grew all his own food and was forever providing sanctuary for animals and built his own house and just a wonderful man, a wonderful person, a wonderful soul. There were so many people of importance. I say faces because the images were, I could almost have reached out and touched them. My mind photographed each one. So they're all still very fresh with me now at the moment. They're there, they're around me. And yes, this is absolutely a liminal time, a time when the veil is thin. These are the beliefs, of course, of my ancestors here in Ireland, although half my family are from Hampshire. My mother was from Hampshire and I have very, very fond connections with England. I say England because it's literally the England that we so love to see on television series like Midsummer Murders, you know, or Inspector Morse. That England, the real England. not just a city or an overspilling town, but the country. You know, I became extremely fond of Thomas Hardy, the writer and the poet, because of my connections with Hampshire and the little village that my mother hailed from, and where my mother's ashes actually are. I'll have to go and visit at some point soon. I haven't yet been to the church and the little churchyard where her ashes are, but I feel she's with me anyway all the time. So even this experience that I've encountered over recent days, this being able to see through the veil and under the veil and having this beautiful warm experience of contact, re-establishing contact with loved ones who have passed. I know it's a strange thing to say, but it makes what's going on in the world, the political and the geopolitical world, seem unreal. I think that that nonsense only becomes real when we open our consciousness to it and when we embrace it. And I say this, what's the point? Surely our experience with Mother Earth and this life that we are so privileged to have. And I go back to what I was reading about the medieval times in England, when people didn't live that long and they had terror in their lives. And I was watching a few episodes of Cadfael, spelled Cadfael. It was a series of books. It was at least one book, and it was written by Leslie Thomas. And you can actually find it on YouTube. You know, there's episodes of Cadfael uploaded all the time. But if you watch one of those episodes, you will see how life was in those times. And life was only that dark and that cruel because of the people at the top of the hierarchy. So what has changed? Nothing. Except that we can turn off those people. Now, I never, I try not to, shall we say. I try not to give any names to politicians or hierarchical figures, because they come and go. They just literally come and go. And all the same, from my perspective, I've lived long enough on this beautiful planet to see through them. So it's about this life and this way of living, embracing ritual, making one's life mean something. And you know, you make it mean something by just even acknowledging the incredible experience that we have on this human journey. And talking of human journey, I have, of course, got the calendars back. And I just want to read a little bit, which I've actually placed on the back of the calendar, and it's called Mother Earth, because I think that this really says it all, and maybe this is what spurred this little podcast. I don't know. I admire the writer James Joyce because he wrote from a stream of consciousness, and I'm inclined to just speak from a stream of consciousness. Eventually I do get back to the beginning, to what it was that I started off saying. So this little piece is from my book In Search of the Goddess Rising, and yes, I found the goddess, and I found the peace that she brings. And for me, it's Mother Earth and the Divine Feminine. So here we go. Her voice is heard in all that grows here at Bealtaine Cottage, reminding us all of the sacredness of life and the oneness of humanity as we listen to the gentle coaxing of the Universal Mother. We will find her in the wrinkled face of an old woman. We will find her in the cries of life in a newborn baby. We will find her in a warm sunny day as we feel the grass between our toes and toss our heads back to bask in the warmth of the sun. We are entering an age of change. Change so profound and so deep that it makes one fearful. This is the time when all will be connected. When we come to contemplate the earth as the great Eden that the Mother has kept alive for us, and now we must strive to bring her once more into the midst of our lives. In a time of destruction, create something. Better still, in a time of destruction, plant something, be it a seed or a plant or a tree. The very act is a demonstration of hope and optimism and courage. In Search of the Goddess Rising. Blessings to you all, and a very happy and fulfilling new year. And may you have peace and prosperity, and not just in fiscal terms, prosperity of the heart. And may you embrace kindness in all that you do, and live the best humanity you can. Blessings to you all.